I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Very happy to be talking now once again with Gloucester Times journalist Taylor Ann Bradford. And Taylor Ann, welcome back to MSO.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Rick. Appreciate it.
Love having this. I'm going to have to call it the Tab Show from now on, TAB. I see your initials, and I want to say Tab. That's Tabby. Or, you know, what else I want to do is call you TB12, but that's already been taken, hasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. So anyway, it is Taylor Ann, and I appreciate your being back. And Taylor Ann, one of the stories I want to flesh out with you this morning and discuss is one that's very close to my heart, both figuratively and literally. And that has to do with the West Gloucester trains. And you have an article up there today under the lead article from Christian Wade. Tell us a little bit about your interview with the Lindale Avenue residents.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to speak with a couple Lindale Avenue residents yesterday just about the ongoing issue with the noises of idling trains over in West Gloucester. So for some context in the beginning, the MBTA is working to replace a structurally deficient drawbridge that carries the commuter rail over the Annisquam River in Gloucester. And this has been going on for a couple of years. It has a couple more years for it to be in the queue of construction. But because of this project, The West Gloucester is the last stop on the start of the Rockport line, and a shuttle transports riders between Rockport and Gloucester. So what this means is that there's a train idling, or multiple trains idling over in the West Gloucester near residential neighborhoods, and this has gotten quite loud and quite disruptive for people, especially as everyone's home during COVID, you know, whether it's for school or work or just, being retired. It's been this ongoing discussion, I would even say dispute, between the MBTA and residents, just because the MBTA has, you know, been saying that they'd move the idling trains further down the line, but the actual trains aren't doing so. And so there's been a lot of promises, a lot of, you know, potential solutions, but it doesn't seem to really be getting better. And, I mean, there's been great work being done by Bruce Tarr and Ted Costa to communicate with the residents and try to figure out the conversation between both the MBTA and residents to try to find a solution that kind of helps the project go forward and get these trains where they need to go, but also eliminate the noise that is, you know, more than disrupting people's sleep habits. And one example is I spoke with David Pye over at Lindale Avenue. David is wonderful speaking with him yesterday morning. He's a Vietnam veteran who, as he articulated, suffers from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, post-traumatic stress disorder, arthritis, and degenerative bone disease. And he said he doesn't usually like to talk about those things, but the reason why he brought up just the health concerns of himself is that because of the ongoing noise of the trains, he's losing sleep. There's, you know, the fumes of the trains that are, like he said, are really creating these other health concerns for him. And he went to his doctor and said, you know, his doctor articulated to him that these new things on top of his pre-existing health conditions could lead to an early death. And so for him, it's a really real concern. And, you know, as we spoke to other residents as well, you know, they said that their houses are literally shaking. And so it seems like the issue is not getting any better. And Bruce Tarr had mentioned that, you know, between the site visit that happened in early October between the residents and a representative from the MBTA to Thanksgiving, things seemed maybe to be getting a little bit better, but then all of a sudden it just got worse and the noise got louder. And so that's what I heard from them. But I honestly, Rick, would love to hear from you because you live in that neighborhood. And so I would love to hear from you. Just has the noise been consistently loud throughout, is it kind of coming and going depending on the weekend?
I got to tell you, Taylor, I don't like to be interviewed by news people. But no, it hasn't changed. We haven't noticed any improvement. And I live right across the street from David Pye and Dave's house. His bedroom is literally on the tracks. As are, a number of houses here on Lindale Avenue. And I noticed in your article you were quoting an MBTA rep, and there's some information there that isn't quite getting out. One thing, the 15-minute turnaround, that may be true for a good portion of the day, but even that is terrifying, and I'll explain that in a second.
Yeah.
But in the morning, 4:30 a.m. is when that first train starts to idle, and it idles until 5 o'clock, sometimes till 5:15, but almost always until 5 o'clock. And that's right outside David's house. And I actually was in his house talking with him about this recently while the train was out there, and the fumes do go into the house. It's diesel fumes. It's ridiculous. But what I want to mention, Taylor, and this is something, being a math teacher, you know, the MBTA quote that I read sort of implies that, hey, come on, it's just 15 minutes. Give me a break. Well, let me tell you this. From 4:30 a.m., so let's say 11 p.m., okay, and I'm going to shave off. Mm-hmm. That's 19 hours, but I'm just going to take 18 of those hours, and I'm going to multiply that by 15 minutes because the train stops there at least once an hour, sometimes more, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you take that 15 minutes, you multiply that by 18, and then you add the 30 minutes in the morning. That's 5 hours a day of diesel noise, diesel fumes right outside your window, okay? And that's in this immediate vicinity of the neighborhood. But hear me out here. 5 hours per day. That's 20 hours of this a week. 20 hours of exhaust going into your house per week. Multiply that by, let's go back to August 1st when they said, you know, when this is all going to change. That's an 18-week period. That's 15 full days, 15 24-hour days of exhaust and noise outside your house. So to fluff it off as 15 minutes is nothing. I really don't like that. And, you know, so some of the neighbors I've talked with, what we're thinking of doing, Ted Costa, as you mentioned, Bruce Tarr, they've been doing a great job, but I'm not sure the MBTA is really cooperating with them. And so we're going to ask and see if it would be appropriate to see if we could get a hold of the Attorney General and see if, because Taylor, it's just awful. And when you live along here and you know, as you heard and experienced, kids are home, kids are trying to sleep, kids are working, parents are working from home, and it's just so disruptive. And as the neighbors have said, we knew what we were buying when we bought by the railroad tracks, but we didn't plan on this. We didn't buy into this. So thank you for your efforts. I appreciate it. It's nice to see and it looks I gotta bring your article over to Dave, see what he says, but I do appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And I'm curious to know, I know the MBTA has just hired a new communications company called Regina Villa Communications to be another point of contact with you guys as the residents over there. Do you see this improving anything in terms of having another line of communication? Do you really think that it needs to go beyond the MBTA as a whole?
Well, that's a good question. And in terms of communication, there has been none. The only communication we get are out of Senator Tarr's office through Ted Costa. So in terms of being any information, I get the information from the Gloucester Times that you write. That's where I get it. So that tells you about there's no two-way communication. There really isn't even any one way. We haven't seen anything.
Okay. Well, yeah, be interested to see, you know, what it looks like when they've really fleshed out their communications with this communications company, but also if you guys go further with kind of going to higher ups, what communication would be like for you all down the line.
Well, one thing I was taught in Journalism 101 somewhere along the line was you never make yourself the story. So I'm going to get off this subject now.
All right.
And I want to turn it back over to your coverage, which of course included this. But what's going on with COVID, Taylor Ann? Because, you know, we heard all the warnings about Thanksgiving and so on, and we know that there is a vaccine coming down the road. So you've got a couple of articles that you've been pursuing, or a couple of storylines that you are continuing to report on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, talk about health concerns all the way around in this podcast today is, you know, you go from the fumes and the noise issues over in West Gloucester to COVID. And I mean, they're unfortunately just getting worse. I feel like we anticipated this when we think about the holidays. As Thanksgiving comes, even when people are at home, you know, you have the few exceptions, people going over to houses and then finding out that somebody that they had Thanksgiving dinner with had COVID or was sick just with the flu. But still, I mean, that in itself is no fun either. And so the city actually just released a press release yesterday noting that there had been a significant rise in COVID cases in the city this week. Since Tuesday, there had been 32 new positive cases of COVID identified among Gloucester residents. And this is the highest rate of cases that the community has seen since the pandemic began back in March. And so you think about it is that, you know, if this is Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving is a big holiday, but Christmas is even bigger. So what is this going to look like as the weather gets colder, as, you know, people long to have connection with the loved ones that they haven't been with, for a long time. Now the currently in the city, there's 65 active cases of COVID in Gloucester. There's been overall 624 cases of the virus in the community, 564 confirmed and 60 probable, and unfortunately 26 COVID-related deaths here in the city. Now, that the death toll number here in the city has actually stayed pretty consistent for the past couple of months. Luckily, there has been great hospitalization efforts, and people have been pretty resilient. But, I mean, you know, zero is the number that we will always strive for and hope for. And so it's really unfortunate. But there are some ways in which the city is looking to mitigate the spread as they test people for COVID. And so I had the opportunity to speak with a representative from the Beauport Ambulance Service here in Cape Ann, and they're actually offering a new program called COVID-19 concierge testing, where they will go to a patient's home and do the test from there. And so the service is available in Gloucester, Rockport, Manchester, Essex, Ipswich, Raleigh, Hamilton, and Wenham. So quite a spread of communities here will get that opportunity, and it's really the only service like this in the area. I know we had those drop-in sites a couple places over at Stageport Park in Gloucester for a couple weekends, but now that those aren't available, people are a little bit more hesitant to go out into public to wait in those lines as it gets colder, as they're fearing kind of any type of contact with people that they don't know. This is a great opportunity for people to utilize to really, you know, see if they need the testing, if they're, you know, planning to travel, but also if they just, you know, they're really sick and they don't know and they don't want to leave their home or they can't. And so the service is offered 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Now, unlike, you know, waiting in line at Stageport Park and getting a free test, this test does cost money. So each test costs $175. And people can call the Beauport Ambulance Service to get these tests. And so it'll be really interesting to see how many people utilize this service as they launch. They announced that the service would be available on Tuesday, and they will be offering it next Monday, and already they have 80 appointments lined up.
Oh, my.
So
wow.
Yeah, so it seems like people are wanting this service, but I'm curious to know just if they're going to be able to keep up with demands, and, you know, how will they get the testing? You know, will they run out of tests? How do they get the test? How do they... you know, will they run out at a certain point? Because, I mean, everybody's going to be wanting a test, especially if they're trying to go see loved ones during the holidays. But that's kind of the newest front on COVID-19. We're continuing to track it and see, you know, what the health experts here in the city and beyond are saying. You know, as always, they're saying, you know, wear a mask, practice proper hand hygiene, you know, stay to the people that you know. But they're really also, what a language that I've been seeing and hearing people references, they're almost going back to what if you remember back in March and April, how, you know, it started to get really isolating. They're saying, you know, stay within the people that you live with. They're using that language again. You know, people are saying, health experts are saying, you know, stay with your households to that bubble that you've had. And we're starting to look that they're really saying, you know, stay with the people that you live with, and that's it. So it looks like we're getting a little bit more isolated, a little bit more, you know, back into the trenches of what we saw back early this spring. But hopefully that vaccine comes sooner than we are realizing right now.
Yeah. So. Well, that's great coverage, and I'm really curious to see 80 people signed up to spend $175 already. That is very interesting. One of the things that I was made aware of this week, talking with a couple of people, again, it's anecdotal, but still, the local college surge of kids in the local area colleges, there is more COVID, you know, popping up around campuses now. And also, I know that... you know, my daughter goes to school in Philadelphia, and it is just, it's just broken out again down there. So it is something to watch on, but I think we're very close to, we're very close to getting past this. I think we just have to be, patient and diligent. Now, you know, let's go to the outdoors here for a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Let's get some air. Your column last week, you talked about, a walking trail that, is one of your favorites. You want to mention that again? And then maybe we can tease what's coming up in your column tomorrow.
Right. So, yeah, one of my favorites, and actually from my alma mater, is called the Tobacco Woods, but I know it as the Gordon Woods. I graduated from Gordon College, and, you know, when we were needing to get a break from studies or had a really long lecture, although our teachers were great, sometimes you needed that, you know, escape into the woods, as I sort of found myself still needing. We'd go to the Tobacco Woods, and this is a great trail, and it's one that I have frequented a lot during the pandemic. And it is a great network that runs past a couple ponds, Gull Pond, Koi Pond, and goes through a few towns. It's cool because what I love about it is that it feels like one continuous stretch of wilderness, of hills and cool pathways that have, you know, a good variation of rocks and roots, but also some good flat terrain, but goes through a couple different towns. And so you realize that you cover more ground and more locations here in Cape Ann in the North Shore than you realize until you get to the end. And, you know, you go onto your Strava app and you look at, you know, what you've done and realize that you've hit, you know, Wenham, Hamilton, Essex, and you feel really accomplished. But it's really great. I see a lot of great mountain bikers over there. At least my favorite though, Rick, is, seeing, I think the other day I was running and I ran into, these two men with these cool mountain bikes, and they had five little boys, also on mountain bikes, and yep. They were taking them through the woods, and, you know, they're scruffing their knees and getting excited and, just kind of, you know, showing the next generation what great areas here in Cape Ann there are to explore. And that's what I love to see. I love to see multi-generations out on the trails and exploring. So that was, yeah, that was last week. And, I mean, I hit that trail at least twice this week already. So it's a goodie, hey, but an oldie.
Who's your canine companion?
Oh, so unfortunately not my dog. I wish it was. But where I live, I can't. And with my job, I can't have a dog right now. Too busy. But
yeah, yeah.
Dogs, a dear friend of mine, she has a this beautiful dog that sometimes she needs dog sitting. And his name is Ollie. And so I take Ollie for these great trail runs, and he's the best.
All right, very good.
He gives me a run for my money. But
we're going to have to try that one out. We were at off of Concord Street last weekend. I think it's called Thompson Woods or something like that, and it goes up towards you know, it goes toward Essex and so on. We actually got lost for a little while. We had to ask for some help getting back, but that was about a 3-mile loop for us. So that's fun. Now, without giving too much away, because we want people to buy the paper and check you out tomorrow, what's coming up in this week's column?
Yeah, so this week is also about running and about, you know, the adventures to be had on the trails, of course, because those are the best adventures there are out there. But, you know, during the pandemic, we've seen races really change, obviously with the Boston Marathon being postponed again and again and canceled. And, you know, people are getting excited and disappointed when their favorite races get canceled this year. We're seeing a lot of virtual races and that kind of that term being coined and promoted all over. And so my column this week is going to be featuring both some past virtual runs and races that have happened both on bike and on foot, but then also some that are coming up the pike, you know, in a few weekends from now, and just how people and race organizers have adapted to a new style of racing and how they, you know, garner support and competitors to come out and still compete even amongst the pandemic and even when you can't, you know, be shoulder to shoulder at the start line. And just, you know, booking it and seeing your competitor and using that, seeing your competitor as your motivation to keep running and to go faster. How do you compete? And so I had some great conversations with some local runners and race organizers just about what they have seen and how they have adapted and how excited they are for this pandemic to be open or over, so that they can go back to what was, because for them, that's what it's all about. It's all about being with people and being in a community of people who are like-minded and excited to get out on the trails. So that's as much as I'll say about that, but that will be coming out on Friday with the Gloucester Daily Times, and we're really excited to see what races happen this winter, albeit a little bit different than normal.
Looking forward to that, and I was talking with Dave Radigan yesterday, and he was thinking that when this is all over, the celebrations are going to begin, and he says this may be the Roaring Twenties coming up all over again, because I think, as you know, there's a large Sicilian population in Gloucester, and Sicilians have to hug. So they're being denied right now, and I'm married to one, and she can't wait to get back hugging people. So I get that. We didn't talk about this in our pregame warm up here, but I just want to ask you: have you had a chance to watch any of these virtual events, like a concert or race or whatever these things? I see that they're coming up all the time, and I in my research and stuff, but I've never taken the opportunity to actually watch any of those virtual things. Have you done any of that?
So I did a little bit, not as much as I probably should, just in terms of supporting local businesses and organizations, but, you know, I have a few friends who are musicians, and so when the pandemic really started to hit a lot of us hard and we were really shut in, I had a few musicians who, you know, they were still putting on concerts but doing it through live, Facebook Live and YouTube streaming, and so I that was really fun. That was a great opportunity to support them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see your friends commenting in the side comment section, and it's definitely different. And I can't imagine for the performers what it's like, you know, not having a live audience. But anything is better than nothing these days. And so that has been fun. And that's always, you get dressed up at home, you make a great meal, and you make a night of it. And it's a little bit different. But, yeah, there's a couple, and they've been successful, but again, I think everyone, it's not better than what we experienced pre-pandemic. So it's better than nothing. And just kudos for those who have been keeping up with it and really, you know, taking their craft to the screen, because it's not, I can't imagine it's easy, but it seems like they're doing a great job, and excited for it to be all over.
That's Gloucester Times journalist Taylor Ann Bradford. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.